Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love, and I do consider that lesser values than love can devolve and sink into potential BS. I want to stay at the highest peak of love that I can reach. I say it again and again here. I'm no expert on love. I'm a pilgrim. I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm on a journey. I'm on a hike. I'm climbing a mountain, and the mountain's called love. The path is love. I'm learning something every day. And as I learn it, I want to pass it along to you. And I welcome you to the next half hour. I am honored and I'm delighted that anyone would choose to come in here and listen to me, give me your life just for that half an hour so that I can invest something in you. So I can drop whatever pearls of wisdom I may have. So get comfortable, get a cup of coffee, or just relax. I'm recording this in July, so find a nice comfortable camp chair and sit in the sunshine or the shade, wherever it is that you can get comfortable. And I invite you to take in the thoughts that I'm sharing. I claim no expertise or perfection in my understanding, but I do hold to the continual journey toward understanding love. I'm convinced that so many of us, myself included, I was there, have been there in my life, we assume so much about love. We assume that love is just, it's just going to be natural. It's going to be like falling off a log. We get up in the morning and we're just going to love with no mistakes. I think we have assumed that love will come to us as it should, but I'm also aware that if we don't do something about this all-important subject, it'll be dormant in our life. We'll finish our life without the full treasure of love lived and expressed in our life. So buckle up, everybody. Let me share some thoughts with you today. I'm convinced that love creates a value. Love creates value where there might not otherwise be a value. So anytime a child loves an ugly little doll or a tore up little stuffed bear or whatever that little toy may be, when that child loves that comfort toy, you parents know what happens if that toy gets misplaced, or perhaps as a parent you felt the personal hygiene of this little stuffed animal was beyond any repair or recovery. And maybe, after the child was not looking or in bed, you snuck that stuffed animal away and threw it away. Well, you parents know what's going to happen next, right? Your child is going to melt down. Love, why? Because love creates a value where there might not otherwise be a value. You see, love creates value even in an inanimate object. Oh, I love this stuffed bear. Mommy, I love that stuffed bear. And the value that that child holds for that little stuffed teddy bear will create for that guardianship around that stuffed teddy bear a pretty special Secret Service crew, right? So when love creates a value where there might not otherwise be a value, we realize that then from that genesis, love will value that object so completely as to expand every other reason to continue to love. So take it away from the stuffed animal, the teddy bear, and consider Jesus commanding us, loving our neighbors, and to love our enemies, to create a value where there might not otherwise be a value, to love even something in us or around us that has no value to us, and to learn from that love that there's a value to be explored, a value that is to be uplifted, and it will uplift us as we express it. I'm also very concerned about that I in my love, I'm not seeking to love others in a way that takes their inventory. Now, let me explain that. The fifth step of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous just calls for a thorough and investigative inventory of my life, that having had that inventory, that I've had a brave look at myself, and that I admit to God and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. So in that fifth step of the 12 steps of AA, I think there are those who aren't familiar with that quality who feel like it's incumbent not only to take your own inventory, but to take other people's inventory. And that is a critical error. That is a terrible mistake. And love doesn't give you a license to take other people's inventory. Well, I'm only telling you the truth because I love you, is what somebody might say. And my response to that is, if you will love me, you'll be patient with me and hold off on your evaluations of me until you're finished loving me. And by the way, that may take a very long time. Love's reality demands that I give attentive inventory to me. So if I want to love others well, then my inventory of me needs to be as healthy and stringent and courageous as possible. If I'm going to love others well, then I have to love myself well enough to be a brave soul taking my own inventory. Because when I look at myself honestly, if I'm looking at me deeply and consistently, well, then the only person I'm out to repair is me. The only person I'm seeking for recovery and restoration and health is me at the first. And by the way, I recognize that when I get healthy, it's more than likely I'll see others in a far more healthy vision. Because if I'll consistently repair myself long before and even ever I seek to repair others, I will discover there's so much less about others that I need to repair, and so much more about me that is in need of some TLC, some about my inner world needs a remodeling, a refashioning, a rediscovery, and that my inner world needs that healthy inventory of self-love. So in creating my own healthy internal world, I can create for others a model, a way to mentor others beyond their own faulty journeys. So, you know, and somebody might ask, well, doesn't a counselor, a doctor, a pastor, somebody in leadership, don't they have a responsibility to offer repair to others? And my answer is, of course they do. But the only way that can be productive is upon invitation. You know, I've spent so much of my life as a pastor, and I have recognized that anybody that I go after to repair without their invitation, my time is more than likely very, very much wasted. If I'm not invited, I can go after them. I can be the codependent king and go after them to the nail to get them fixed. And what I'm going to find out is at the end of that, I'm going to be worn out. And they're going to be almost the identical. They're going to be in the identical place they were when I started the effort to repair them. But when somebody calls me, when somebody says, hey, I need an appointment. Hey, I need to come see you. I'm hurting. I'm in trouble. I need to talk. Well, now it's invitation. When you call the doctor, there's an invitation. Hey, doc, I'm sick. I need help. When you call a counselor, you say, listen, I'm messed up. I'm sideways in life, and I've got to figure this out. That's the invitation. When we love people, we wait for the invitation to pass along any advice and especially any inventory. That probably should be a whole nother half an hour of the No BS Bishop. So take that for what it's worth right there. And now let me just land here at about the halfway point of this episode and discuss with you where I'm actually headed. I am convinced, again, love creates a value where there might not otherwise be a value. that loves reality will demand that I give attentive inventory to myself first and foremost. And out of all of that, I'm saying those things as a basis for helping you and me understand that I do believe, and I have to remind myself of this, I believe that love at its most basic human reality is natural. Love starts in the soul, in the mind, in the body of every human being. Frankly, I think this is true of even the animal kingdom. At the most basic level, love is inborn in us. It's created as the very beginning of us. Love at its most basic human reality is something natural. I don't know that anybody would even argue this, but take this into stock and consider every baby. Every baby born, even an animal baby, a little puppy or a kitty, every baby born is carrying an instinct, some rudimentary instinct of love for mom. Mom, I need you, mom. I love you, mom. Mom, what does a child normally, not always true, but what does a child normally say in their first words? Mom, mama. Why? Because there's a natural born love going on in that child. Love for mama. Even it doesn't happen as much anymore, but back in the day when big, rough and tumble 300-pound linebackers on a football team would be interviewed or a camera, they'd catch the camera's eye on the sidelines, what would they say? Hi, mom. Born in the child, in the heart of every child, I think, is a basic instinct for love. Love is there from the first breath out. But now listen to me carefully. I also believe wholeheartedly, and this is the reason why I'm here week in and week out. This is the reason why I'm writing a book on love. This is the reason why I'm teaching on the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. Lesser values devolve into BS. This is the reason why I have a ministry called Randy Dean Ministries that reaches out to people who've been exiled from church. I am convinced that for all our days and all our life, love will require discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and the overcoming of narcissism. Let me read that to you again. I believe that for all of our days and all of our life, love will require discipline. What is discipline? Well, discipline is the goal, the object of saying, I will do these three things consistently in my life, and I will not renege on them. I will not pull away from these three basic, I don't know if it's three, maybe it's two, maybe it's ten, but whatever the qualities that you are committed to and you do routinely and religiously, that's your discipline. I see love as requiring a discipline of goals, a discipline of understanding, a discipline of practice. Some weeks ago, I talked to you about the seven pillars of love. Love is a plate that's held up in the sky. It's a gigantic, football field size plate held up in the sky by seven pillars. And the two pillars that I would refer to right now are forgiveness and gratitude. There are five others, but just on those two, forgiveness and gratitude. Love is held in place by forgiveness and gratitude. That's a discipline. To be forgiving is a discipline. To be grateful is a discipline. Love will require our disciplined purposes, our intentional goals, and in the list of this, from discipline to concentration. I could say meditation as well. To meditate love, to concentrate on love, to be putting my thoughts toward love. What is love? How does love look? How does love speak? How does love behave itself? Love requires concentration, focus, like a magnifying glass drawing the sunshine's focus onto a dry leaf and setting it on fire. Love requires that kind of laser-like focus. It isn't just out of the nature of love that we're going to set the world on fire with love. It's in the concentration of love. The concentration of love is that which any group of people, maybe just one, but it's that any group, any one person who decides, this is my purpose, no matter what else happens to me, and bad things will happen. Stress will come. Disappointments will happen, but no matter what those things are going to be, I will be a lover. I will not live my life on lesser values. I cannot afford the luxury of giving in to my most base anger or unforgiveness or lack of gratitude. I must concentrate. That's what I'm talking about here. Love will require discipline, concentration, patience. To be patient with love is to understand that love does not fix everything today. Love will not be able to finish all of its work in any one given day, maybe not even in any one given year or beyond. Love is patient, is what 1 Corinthians 13 says. It's long-suffering. It suffers long. The patience of love, there is absolutely no replacing patience, long-suffering, and determination in our love. Love has a reward. I believe that with every fiber of my being. And I believe that the reward comes to those who are willing to wait. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't turn aside from the purpose of love in your life. It is to say that when we are loving, it is to say that love in its concentration, in its discipline, is taking the patient ferment of the grape juice that turns to wine. That's what fermentation does for grapes. It creates the beauty of wine, but you're not going to get that in one day, one week, one month, one year, or maybe even a decade. The patience of love is that which creates the great bouquet of wine. So when our patience is long-suffering, sustain in your life the notion that this is always worth it. It is always going to end in a glorious payoff because love never fails. Love requires discipline, it requires concentration, patience, and it requires faith. I personally believe faith in God. I personally believe faith in God is the faith that carries into all other things, faith. It's that being able to do without proof. It's being able to say without any response from anybody. It's being able to know that my faith is in the invisible. And sometimes that invisible can be, it can be doggedly far away and so elusive. But hear me when I say, faith is that which puts air in my lungs so that I can continue to be a person of love. Faith in knowing that love never fails. Faith in knowing that God is love and love is God. Faith is what keeps my love right where it belongs, in the front of my pursuits in life. And last but not least, all of our days and all of our life, love will require discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and the overcoming of narcissism. I've spoken on narcissism here before, and I want to just give a quick review of that. Narcissism is that life that has devolved into everything is about me. What serves me, what helps me, what makes me feel good, what makes me important above all other human beings around me, including my family. Narcissism, at its most basic disease, is just me. I don't care about any other value but me. So when I am when I'm the person who's trapped in me, then love and the pursuit of love is incumbent to know. It's incumbent for me to know that I have to overcome me. Me, the overcoming of narcissism, is what love is about. And then it becomes this generous life outside of me. The generous life that knows that I will always be more healthy and alive when I am living outside of just me. When I give, I am loving. When I forgive, I am loving. When I focus on what others are saying, needing, when I turn my ears on and my mouth off, that's turning away from me and overcoming narcissism. You know, the basis of this today, remember what I said, I believe that love in its most basic human reality is just something natural. We're all born with it. But like any natural talent, it will require discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and the overcoming of narcissism. Love isn't just a feeling, folks. Love is a practice. So let's just wrap all of that up into those last few words. Love isn't a feeling, because if it's just left to be on a feeling level, love will languish for lack of maturity. Love isn't just a feeling. Love is a practice. To practice love is to understand that today I may not get it right, but tomorrow I'm going to get it more right than I did today. It's a doctor practicing medicine. No doctor on earth is perfect. All doctors are practicing medicine. The doctor who says to you that they've got it figured out is a doctor to beware of. A doctor that will tell you, I'm here to help any way I can on any basis that I know. But if I don't know something about what I'm doing for you, then I promise you that I will help you find the help you need. That's a good doctor. Practicing medicine is what every doctor is about. And as we see love as the highest human value, that which we were born with, a natural born gift, now we know we have to practice love day by day by day. And oh yes, love gets rejected. Oh yes, love gets thrown aside. Oh yes, love doesn't always have immediate results that you can give yourself in a day and say, well, that was worth it. Nope, it doesn't happen that way. But love in the big picture of life creates a better world for you, for me, and it creates a better world for the world around us. Love really is the only credible value of life. Love alone is credible. In fact, Jesus told his followers, by this, all the world will come to know that you are truly my students, my disciples, if you have love for one another. If love is present, then the proof, the apologetic for Christianity becomes evident. So based on that, for years I've said, boy, if that's true, and it is, then why aren't we just pouring ourselves into the discovery of love? I don't understand why not. So that's why I said, well, nobody else will take it on at that kind of passion, as far as I know anyway. And if no one else will take it on, hey, my hand's in the air, teacher. Randy Dean here. I'm present and accounted for. I'm going to do what I can to, in the pilgrimage of love, in the practice of love, I'm going to do what I can to unpack it and to give as much understanding to it as I know how. And again, I believe love is natural. We're all born on some level with love burning in us. Even if it's strained, if a child is somehow born in a catastrophic event and suddenly loses their mother, that love is still present in that baby. That baby's still crying for love, because love is there trying to give itself as something is given to it. And that genesis of love to love in that baby is what will create a healthy life. Every child, every little animal, I think, is born with some instinct of love for that which gave birth to it. And it will require a lifetime pilgrimage of discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and the overcoming of narcissism, or a simple way to say it, the overcoming of me. Well, there you have it for today's No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, All Lesser Values or Potential BS. Now, I want to close today with my routine, and yes, it is routine. It's a discipline of challenging you on two levels. First of all, it is to breathe. I know that sounds so dumb to some people. Well, of course I'm breathing. It's automatic. Yeah, sure. At a basic level, it's automatic, but that's just like love. Now you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to take that automatic, that natural, and develop it into something far more healthy. So on the count of three, I want you to join me in a deep breath. I want you to draw in as deep as you can. Fill those two balloons inside your chest called lungs. Fill them up as tight as you can. Push that air down to the basement of your lungs and hold it there. On the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it deep. Hold it in there. And exhale. I believe if you can do that every so often in every day, you'll slow yourself down. You'll lower your blood pressure. You'll give yourself the opportunity to be calm. You overcome yourself. You overcome your stress. You'll overcome the hurry disease that we live in our culture. It'll give you a daily Sabbath to breathe well. So do that. I just did one breath. It would be important to take 3 to 5 minutes and breathe well as a practice as to how to keep breathing in a healthy fashion. And the second thing I close every No BS Bishop episode with is the challenge to give yourself the pleasure of saying, I love you, to somebody every day. Don't rush it. Don't give it that brushing moment of love ya. Make sure it's intentional. Make sure it's concentrated. This is a certain way to overcome narcissism. This is a certain way to overcome the me disease. Give somebody your full attention, eye contact, and say the most charmed, magical words in the human experience. I love you. I know some people will be so uncomfortable with you looking them right in the eye. And in other cases, you will be uncomfortable doing it. I know what that feels like. But don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat others of those three words. You never know but what somebody hasn't heard it in weeks, maybe months, or worse, years. Give attention to those three beautiful, powerful, explosive words. I love you. Parents to children, children to parents, friends to friends, spouse to spouse, neighbor to neighbor. Give it that. You know, it's tough, I know. But boy, life is tough, isn't it? And life can be made so much better if we express our love with real value. Thanks again for coming here week in and week out. Tell your friends about this broadcast. It is a project I am extremely proud of. I don't say that with any other sense except that this has been a few years worth of discussion and conversation and carrying forward the whole value of love, knowing that love is the highest human challenge, the highest human pursuit. So thanks for being here, giving me your time. Now get out there and do something beautiful because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. It's time for the people of love to arise with beauty in their eyes, their hands, and their voice. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.